All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So on this Easter weekend, I thought it was appropriate to talk about candy, since it plays such a big role for kids this coming Sunday. Chicago was the place that it was all made. It was America's candy capital from the late 1800s through the 1960s. And by comparison, the second biggest candy manufacturer center is New York City, but only made half as much as candies we made here in Chicago. Frangos, Cracker Jack, Baby Ruth, Butterfingers, Double Mint Gum, Tootsie Rolls, Milk Duds, Brock's, Three Musketeers, Fannie Mae, Lemonheads, all products once made or still being made here in Chicago. There's a timeless book out there called Chicago's Sweet Candy History, and author and historian Leslie Goddard joins us tonight. Glad you could be with us, Leslie.
Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for staying up with us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I love an excuse to talk about candy.
Did you have some candy? Because are you all sugared up, ready for the conversation?
We did.
Oh, good.
Jelly beans right in front of me.
I like it. So where did your fascination with Chicago candy history and candy history in general come from?
I grew up in the Chicago area, and I remember a couple of the brands. I remember seeing the Ferrara Pan Candy Company and passing the plant where they make Baby Ruth and Butterfinger when I was growing up. But I had no idea how many candy companies were in the Chicago area until years later. I happened to be working in Evanston, and I found out that Milton Holloway, who was the great maker of Milk Duds for years, and Otto Schnering, who invented Baby Ruth and Butterfinger, had lived in Evanston. And I said to someone, you know, this is amazing, you know, these great guys. And someone said to me, but that's true all over the Chicago area. You know, almost anywhere you go, you're going to find some of these famous candy makers. And I started, you know, putting together some research, and it grew into a talk and grew eventually into a book. It's an amazingly rich history.
It's fabulous. And actually, there's some great photographs and ads and so forth. Where did you get all this stuff? Like, this is a lot of research to find something like this.
You know, it was a lot of fun. I started collecting mostly just as illustrations for my talk, and it's one of those things that's easy to get hooked on, because a lot of people save candy wrappers. It's an mm-hmm. easy thing for kids to start collecting when they're young, and people have this incredibly powerful connection to candy. When I give these talks and I ask people to remember, you know, do you remember the first time you ever bought something in a store? A lot of times it's candy. When you show people an old candy wrapper from their childhood, they remember really vividly. It's like an old friend.
You are so right. I was going to say, you know, all things vintage or retro, music, beverages, restaurants, amusement park, drive-ins. Mm-hmm. Candy, I remember driving my bike to the local grocery store and buying like a $100,000 grand bar.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
With my money. Yeah.
Exactly. And so the more I started talking, the more people started bringing out these wrappers from their attics. And of course, there were so many people in the Chicago area who worked for these candy companies or worked for companies that supplied these companies. I just gave this talk a couple weeks ago, and someone showed up. He had worked at Brock's for 25 years, and he showed up with this wonderful cache of photos. And it turns out, by coincidence, I had found a photo of him was in my book. It was a photograph I had found at the Chicago History Museum, which is a great, wonderful archival collection. And he told me this wonderful story about how he met his wife there, and his mother worked there during the World War II when they were having trouble finding employees, and they recruited a lot of women. And so great, great stories like that, and just people finding stuff in their attics and in their photo albums and willing to share.
So back in the heyday, when Chicago was really the capital, how many employees did Chicago candy factories employ compared like to today?
The peak that I have seen was that at one point there were as many as 25,000 Chicagoans working directly for the candy industry. Someone asked me one time, how many candy companies were there? And, you know, I have a list that's now well over 300. That was really at the peak. It declined, and it particularly declined pretty precipitously in the 90s. At one point, it declined down to about 7,000 workers. And it's I don't have the latest statistics, but it's certainly nowhere near the 25,000 that it was. Although I'm always surprised when you talk to people, they don't always realize how many are still here. You know, Tootsie Roll is still here. World's Finest Chocolate, American Licorice is still in Alsip, Willy Wonka in Itasca. Mars has their oldest, longest operating plant is on Oak Park Avenue in Chicago.
When I worked over by the Chicago River, in the morning I would smell the bread from Ganella Baking, and then on the way in the afternoon, sometime after 2, 3 o'clock, the way the wind would blow, I would smell Bloomers. Is it Bloomers or Blommers?
Yes.
Bloomers. Oh, my God.
Bloomers, yeah.
Bloomers. That smell is absolutely amazing.
No.
Drives you nuts.
People know that smell. You know, you get off the train at the Ogilvy Station.
Yeah.
It's like, who's making chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been here since 1939.
Wow.
They are the biggest wholesale chocolate manufacturer in the country. They've got plants also in California and Pennsylvania. But, we're still an amazing candy capital.
Now, what were some of the reasons that Chicago was the nation's candy hub? I know there were several kind of things that led up to it that candy just ended up here.
Yeah, the biggest one by far was transportation.
The railroad.
And transportation and location. Railroads.
Yeah.
I mean, railroads was huge. And the reason railroads were huge was because of its impact on profitability. Things could be shipped out less expensively from Chicago. And really, things could be gotten to the factories.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't just about the export. Yeah, it wasn't just about the export. It was about the sugar, the milk, the oils, all the ingredients. Yeah.
Exactly. We forget that, of course, today, you know, we have refrigerated boxcars and we have high-speed interstate transportation. None of that existed in the late 19th century. Really, fast transportation was a major factor, and it's pretty easy to get milk and corn products from the Midwest to Chicago. When Mars opened their first plant here in 1929, the reason specifically was that they knew their profits would increase if they were located close to transportation. Immigration was a big head of it. Whenever I mention the names of the big candy makers, you know, Brock's and the Ruckheim brothers who invented Cracker Jack.
It's a lot of German immigrants.
Yeah, a lot of.
Right?
Well, and German immigration, you know, Chicago's period of peak growth coincided with the peak growth from Middle and Eastern Europe, and it's not a coincidence. Brock's for a long time, some of my favorite pictures are Brock's for a long time had a little slogan on their boxes and their ads that said, ask for B-R-O-X, just in case, you know, this German name is hard for Americans to pronounce.
Yeah, there was a lot of name changing back then.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But also a lot of Greek immigrants, Andy Canelos, who started Andy's Mints, a lot of Italian, the Ferrara pan candy, it's a great Italian company, so a lot of immigration in it.
Well, more on Chicago's sweet candy history when we come back on 720 WGN. Let's talk some of those iconic candy-making companies, you know, the early ones, and what they made and where they were located in Chicago.
Sure. Probably, you know, Cracker Jack is usually given as the first massively successful branded candy. Candy had been sold generically, you know, stick candy and rock candy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cracker Jack was one of the first companies that specifically had a name, although it was sold just as generic popcorn, molasses-coated popcorn and peanuts for a long time before someone finally said, you know, boy, this stuff is a Cracker Jack. They, for years, were located at, it was on Harrison and Peoria, close to where UIC is today. They had a factory with this huge box of Cracker Jack on top of it.
Is that right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Some of the other biggies, Wrigley's Gum, William Wrigley came to the U.S., to Chicago in the early 1890s.
But he wasn't selling gum. I mean, that wasn't his intention. Yeah.
No, I always say it's one of the great success stories. He was selling soap. His father made soap, but he was really big on giveaways. So he started giving away baking powder with every soap purchase, and then baking powder got more popular, so he dropped soap and sold baking powder and offered gum as a premium, and the gum got more popular, so he dropped the baking powder and just sold gum.
That's great.
Eventually, he was selling just three brands. He had Spearmint and Juicy Fruit, invented or debuted in 1893. Doublemint came out in 1914. For about 60 years, he sold just those three flavors for 5 cents a pack, and of course made enough money to build the Wrigley Building.
Yeah, that I'm looking at right now.
Headquarters, yeah. 2011, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And by a baseball team who still plays in the park, named after them.
Do they still make Bitto Honey?
They do. They do still make it. It was originally made by Shooter Johnson out of Chicago. And today it's made by you. I'm blanking on it. It might be Hershey. Like a lot of these great brands, they've gone through mergers. It's still made. It's one of those candies that's hard to find. But sometimes you have a luck if you go to some of the independent grocery stores. That's where I found things like O. Henry and
okay.
Great old brands.
773, do they still carry candy cigarettes? Now, I know they do. They do candy sticks, they're called now, but they still do sell them. Yeah.
They do. They do. Again, they're hard to find. It's a long tradition of selling candy and tobacco together.
I have
a way for them to get kids into the habit.
I have an early 70s cigarette machine that we rehabbed, and it has candy cigarettes in it.
Yeah.
For a quarter. Exactly.
Absolutely. Exactly. They used to put little trading cards in packets of cigarettes, and kids would hang outside the tobacco stores to try and get them. And
oh, that's cool.
Eventually, they started putting them in candy packages, too.
847 asks, do they still sell fizzies?
They do. Now, that's not a brand that was from Chicago.
Okay.
So I don't know the specifics. It might be fun to try, like, a Vermont Country Store, I think, might have.
They have a lot of retro candies. I've seen that before. Yep. A couple texts came in. It says, my grandpa in the 60s and 70s is from 612 in Minneapolis, drove a tanker for Quality Carriers in which he delivered liquid sugar to Curtis Candies.
That's
pretty cool,
amazing.
Huh?
Yep. You can imagine. I mean, Curtis was using several tons of products like sugar and corn.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
773.
They had their own farm up in Cary, Illinois, I think.
Did they really? So they did that for themselves.
Yeah, fresh milk and fresh eggs, and they even did cattle breeding up there.
Wow. 773, Superior Nut and Candy, 6620 West Irving Park, sells Bitto Honey in bulk, also the Caramel Bullseyes.
Oh, so good, so good.
Have you heard of that one, Superior Nut and Candy?
Yes, I have, absolutely. In fact, they've got a store. I think it's on
Irving Park.
Irving Park.
773, I miss the Marathon Candy Bar and Milkshake Bar. Are those still around?
They unfortunately are not. There's Cadbury makes a bar called a Curly Whirly, which is similar to Marathon, but Marathon unfortunately was discontinued in the 70s, partly because, get this, it was so long. If you don't remember, Marathon was a caramel bar covered in chocolate. It was really long. It had a ruler on the back. It didn't fit in a lot of candy displays and candy vending machines, so that one was taken away. And Milkshake was Hollywood, if I believe, from down south in Illinois.
Oh,
and unfortunately, it's one of those brands that's gone.
That's too bad. Yeah. You never know. They've been popping up, all these old brands. You never know if somebody picks them up.
I know.
219, what about Fleer's Double Bubble Gum? I found it at Meyer's. That's from Lupe.
Oh, gosh, I found a lot of great candies at Meyer's.
I found
Henry bars there one time. Yeah, they're great. Double Bubble is one of those brands that was not originally from Chicago, but I believe it has been purchased by Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll, which has been in Chicago since the 60s, they have made a lot of really interesting purchases recently of a lot of classic candies, including not just bubble gum, but Charms lollipops and Blow Pops. They make Andy's Mints. They make Junior Mints. It's amazing. And you know what else they make? Those little wax bottles that had the liquid in them. Remember those?
Yes, I do.
They make a version of those.
Those were fun, but just gross.
Oh, they were gross. Yeah, I know. Your teeth, they got a big mess. Ugh. Yeah. But classic candy that kids still love.
So what's still being made here in Chicago, Leslie?
Well, Certainly Mars is still operating here. They're turning out, Snickers and Milky Ways, Three Musketeers. Butterfinger and Baby Ruth are still made here. Tootsie Roll's still here. World's Finest Chocolate, which makes the fundraising bars, is still here.
I got to tell you, I love their chocolate-covered almonds, man. I just remember selling them as a kid, and when I smell them, I could eat boxes of those in one sitting. Yeah,
I know. And the caramel with the runny, it's so good.
Good stuff.
Blummer is still here. Willy Wonka, American Licorice, I mentioned. It's amazing how many are still in the Chicago area. In fact, funny story, someone I met grew up in Forest Park, and his mother one day said, "Do you ever notice how there's this smell of, like, lemon in the air some days, and some days it's cinnamon?" And he said, "Mom, the Ferrara Pan Candy Company is right
Hello.
There. Did you never notice?"
Well, as we were saying, the Bloomer's chocolate, it just smells fabulous downtown.
Yeah, it does.
It's wonderful.
Oh, so good.
Well, I'll tell you what, Leslie Goddard, what a wonderful conversation, some fascinating history, and it can all be found in her timeless book, Chicago's Sweet Candy History, and that's available wherever books are sold. Leslie, thanks for joining us, and happy Easter.
Thanks for having me.
And
you
we will
too.
Definitely
thanks
come back and do some Marshall Fields. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, happy Easter to you.